Thank you for being part of our study. We have been studying about the 144,000. We've been studying about Daniel's 70th week. Daniel chapter 9, verse 24 and 25. We have completed that area. But the study that we had before for Daniel was important simply due to the fact that it's lays the foundation for everything else. So, I pray that if you hadn't listened to any of the other ones, please go back and listen to those studies on the 144 and the fulfillment of Daniel's 70th week, 70 weeks of Daniel's prophecy. We're just moving on from there. This is now, we're in the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So we're going to be covering this series here is the feast, Yahweh's calendar. So since we're in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, I just thought it would be right to talk about it. And relate it to what we have been studying for the last few months. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious Father, we thank thee for your mercy and your grace that you have granted to us. We thank thee for your loving kindness. Thank thee for health and strength and all the opportunities that you give us. Please be with us. Speak through me to the people. Help the people understand your will and your way for these days and these times that we live in. Thank you for your mercy and your grace. Amen. Okay. Now, we have been talking about last day events. And Yahweh's calendar, by the way, is the first, we're in the first month of Yahweh's calendar. Now, you might be saying, well, this is April. How can we be in the first month? That was in January. Okay. According to the Roman Gregorian calendar, okay, made by the popes, made by the church, it is surely not biblical at all, okay? Just like their whole traditions, nothing they have is biblical. It is all made up, a counterfeit. So, just like there's the counterfeit Sabbath, which is called Sunday, just like there's the counterfeit calendar, which is called the Gregorian calendar, and there's Yahweh's calendar. There's also, we found out that there's a counterfeit holy days, and we call them today holidays. Holidays and holy days are spelt the same way. So if you spell holy days, it's holy is H-O-L-Y, and days is D-A-Y-S. So if you have holy days, okay, you can replace and make it one word. It's replace the Y with an I. And so you get what we call today holidays. But they're nothing but the world's holy days. Okay. So coming from there, we are now that there's a counterfeit people. Everything that Yahweh has set up in his Bible, the church has counterfeited. And the world has counterfeited. So they claim that they're his people. They'll tell you that the European Jews are his people, that they're not biblical people at all. They don't follow the biblical teachings. They follow the European made-up teachings, which it came from paganism. So they're European pagan Christians. That's what, by definition, they are. But they say that they are the Judeo-Christian movement, okay? The universal church. Set up by Christos, or set up by Jesus, which is Jesus. So, with all of that said, let's try to understand what Yahweh's calendar is about. Okay, so since we're now in the time of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and we just had Easter, as they would say, on this Sunday, okay, and today is Wednesday, And the Feast of Unleavened Bread lasts 7 days. The Passover was from Friday night to Saturday night. Okay. And the days start with the setting of the sun. That starts your new day. Not the rising of the sun. Again, like I said, everything is counterfeited. So you have the evening and then you have the morning. And you might be saying, well, wait a minute, Emmanuel, where do you get that from? Okay, let's turn there. Let's turn to the book of Genesis, okay? Genesis chapter 1. Let's start right there so that we can all be together. Okay, and the Bible says, Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1, in the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And the spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the water. So let me ask you, when it talks about in the beginning, when the beginning of time, when Yahweh was created, or just the beginning when the heaven and earth was created? This one is just dealing with the heaven and the earth being created, not Yahweh in the beginning when he was before there was any time. So notice, it didn't say that he created the heavens, with an S, and the earth. Now we know we have three heavens. We have the heaven that's above us, which is what we call the clouds. Then we have the, and where the planes fly. Then we have the outer space of the universe. That's a heaven, and that is where NASA goes and so forth, and they send out their different things. That's where the moon and the nine planets are. Then we have where Yahweh dwells, which is the third heaven. Okay, so we have at least three heavens. Now, the question is, why did he say in the beginning Yahweh created the heaven instead of the heavens with an S? This King James Version. Just wanted to mention that to you. Just so that you can get an understanding. And he said, the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. So before there is light, there is darkness. And so what he's talking about here is nothing but darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the waters. And it was water. When we study the nine laws of health, you will see that water is very important. And as you can see, water was in the beginning where the spirit of Elohim was and where there was darkness and where Elohim created all of this. Now, okay, the next thing we would like to see, and Elohim said, let there be light, and there was light. So notice there was darkness before the light. So that's why the evening, the darkness is the beginning of the day. And then the light came afterwards. And that's why the light, and when the light goes, that's the end of the day. Okay? And Elohim said, let there be light. And there was light. And Elohim saw the light, that it was good. And Elohim divided the light from the darkness. And Elohim called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So how did he say? What was the first day? The evening at sunset and the morning when the light came were the first day. And when the light settles, and then you start the second day. Okay, so there you have it. And then we can also read verse is 6-8, just so you can understand how the second day works. And Elohim said, let there be a firmament in the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And Elohim made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And Elohim called the firmament heaven, singular again, not heavens, and the evening and the morning were the second day. So there you go again. You see the consistency. The evening and the morning makes the day. Not, that's why I said we live in a counterfeit world. We have it starting at midnight. Okay, so you can't trust what the church says. You can't trust what man says. You can't trust what society says. You only can trust what Yahweh says. Since he created it, he should know, right? Okay, so what do we have next? Okay, now that we've been able to establish the days, and when day start, and when day eat, so it is not a strange thing for you to realize that in January, in the middle of the winter, that's when we had the Gregorian calendar, according to the church, the Roman Gregorian calendar, would tell you that that's the beginning of the year, in the middle of the winter. Okay, but Yahweh's calendar says no. You have to wait for the equinox to occur, and then you have to start with the moon. So a moon starts a new moon starts the beginning of a cycle or the beginning of a month. That means there's no moon in the sky. That's what no new moon means. There's none. Okay, then it starts to crest and get bigger and halfway and so forth. And then you start to see it develop day by day. Okay, and this happens for 29 and a half days. That's what it takes for you to run through a moon cycle. And we call it a lunar calendar because it's based on the moon. Okay, and so some people have a lunar calendars that they use and based on the months on the moon cycle. And then some have what they call a solar calendar, which is only built based on the equinox. Then you have the Hebrew calendar, which is based on both. The months start with the new moon, but the year is supposed to start with the equinox, when you have equal day and equal night. Okay? So, hopefully you're getting a better picture. Okay? And that happens around April and March, in between that particular time. And it'll vary year by year, day by day, so it's never usually the same, because the month, the moon varies from time to time. Okay, so now we established what a day was, we established what a month was. Now can we establish what a week is? A week is 7-day cycle. Now, right now, people go to church on Sunday, which is not the seventh day. Yahweh said that he created man in 6 days. Well, let's read it. Let's just make sure we're following everything that the scripture says. We wouldn't want you to believe that we're saying something that's not true. Chapter 2 of Genesis, starting at verse 1. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, Elohim ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day, not the first day of the week. He blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he rested from all his work, which Elohim created and made. So here we talked about the day before. Now we have a week, which is 7 days. Okay. So we have a week, a month, 24 hours for a day, basically. A month, a week is 7-day cycle from Sunday through Monday. Sunday is the first day of the week, and he blessed the seventh day, Saturday. We call it today. Then we have what we call the month. The month is last for 29 and a half days, which is based on the lunar calendar. Okay. So we have these different things occurring. These are according to his calendar. Okay, so then what is a year? A year is based on the equinox. When equinox come back to equal day and equal time, it happens twice a year. One in the winter solstice, one in the vernal equinox. And so that's when you have your equal day and equal night. And it happens in the spring when life is being brought back to life. And so the winter is gone. The darkness is gone. People change their time frame. And so you get more light than darkness. And so during that specific time, that's when he says, okay, that's when he's going to start with the new month. Okay? So now we know, okay, and we talked about and the new year starts at that time. So we understand when the year starts, when the month starts, week, and a day. Okay? Well, let's take a break at this point, and let's hear from our sponsors.
Did you know that the supernatural is real? Yep, that's exactly what Jesus taught and operated in. Kingdom principles for kingdom living. So to walk in your kingdom authority, enroll at Living Water Training Institute for the January 2015 session. Living Water Training Institute offers ministerial training for the kingdom, and you will learn what spiritual warfare is and how to navigate in the spirit realm legally and efficiently. And guess what? You do not have to be present to attend. So for more information, give us a call at area code 904-638-6906 or email us at livingwatertraining@gmail.com. Oh yeah, and check out the website at www.livingwaterhealingministries.org. So I challenge you to sharpen your arsenal and operate from your kingdom mantle.
One Day Denture Repair is a denture repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida.
They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Denture Repair at 904-210-6208 for appointment.
Phenomenal.
Yes. Thank you.
For coming back and being part of our study. We thank you for your time and energy. Now, as we have started already, we talked specifically about the days, weeks, month, and all of those type of things, and a year. Of course, we were trying to understand Yahweh's calendar. That's our point. We want to understand Yahweh's calendar. So, the next thing we would like to find out, once we know his calendar, he has appointed feasts or appointed times to meet with his people. Now, some will say, well, that, you know, that's the Old Testament stuff. That's what he had with the Jews. Okay, first of all, the people we made this covenant with is not the European Jews. So they wasn't around. They don't come up to 700 AD. So they're like, you know, quite a few thousand years late, millenniums. And Abraham was not a European Jew. He wasn't a Jew at all. Okay, he was a Hebrew. Okay, now let's go back in time just so that we can get a feel of what's going on. Okay, when we're talking about the calendar, Yahweh's calendar, he has appointed feasts or appointed times that he meets with his people. And one is, as we read already, this is in Genesis chapter 2, so there are no Jews around. There is no Abraham around. Okay, so this that he set up is with for all men and for himself. Chapter 2, verse 1 of Genesis. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, Elohim ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And Elohim blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. Okay? So he blessed it and sanctified it for himself. Not for the Jews, not for Moses and the Ten Commandments. No, it had nothing to do with that. So this is what he made with all humans in the beginning. He never made Sunday, except on the first day of the week, which we found out is when darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the deep. That's when we found out when was the first day of the week. Seventh day, he didn't do anything, so he tells us to rest on the same time frame, and then not just us, but all animals and everything, and land rest. So, not just he rested, not does he ask Adam and Eve to rest, all humans. Also, he also had it for all animals to rest. Okay? And this is not, has nothing to do with Abraham and Moses or any of that stuff. This all has to do with Adam and Eve, the first humans or Africans on the planet. Or the Edenites, as you might call them. Okay, so there, he sanctified it. Then when we read later, we'll find out that he also, I mean, everybody has to rest. So that's one of the natural laws of health. Let me give you the lowdown on health that Yahweh has put in, you know, the book, in his book. It's called New Start. K for knowledge, N for nutrition, E for exercise, W for water. Start. S for sunlight, T for temperance, A for air, R for rest, and T for trust in divine power. So those are the nine laws of health that Yahweh has placed here on the planet that you can all read in the book of Genesis, most of it. Okay, so if it's in Genesis, these laws and the diet has nothing to do with the European Jews, as people keep trying to make it appear. Okay, so with this, he also created a calendar. And on the fourth day, Okay. Let's go to the fourth day. This is Genesis chapter 1. Okay. On verse 14, he says, "And Elohim said, let there be lights in the firmaments of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years." So notice he uses the heavens, he uses the greater light and the lesser light to rule the what? The day and the night. For there be days, as we talked about, years we already talked about. So the sun is, it says, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. So you have the moon for the night, and you have the sun for the day, and let them be for signs. Okay, we're going to talk about signs in the heavens to tell us what's going on, for seasons. And this word seasons is translated feasts, okay, or translated feasts, yes. So these were the times that you had these seasons. It wasn't winter, spring, fall, and summer. It wasn't those four seasons. He was talking about holidays, times that he got with his people. And for days, we already talked about how you calculate a day, the evening, then the morning, and then for years. And we talked about the solar calendar equinox for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And Elohim made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. And Elohim set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And Elohim saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. So there you go again. The evening and the morning were the fourth day. So, as we can see here, in this firmament of the heavens, okay, we have this word seasons. Okay? And these are his holidays, or as some would call it, is holy days. Okay, so now what we want to try to do is try to understand his calendar. And if you turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23, you'll read about some of these different things. Now, while you're getting there, I wanted to cover some other ones. Okay, we have the day, the night, okay, the feasts. Okay, he had some special times where each year, every 7 years, he would let the land rest. That's called a sabbatical. So the land would rest every seventh year. That means you didn't plant any crops, and whatever would grow wild, it would grow wild of itself, and it would be free for anybody to eat. So that's how you let the land rest. Like we said, every seventh day, you let your animals and yourself rest, and your servants and everyone else. And then on the seventh year, you would let the land rest. So everything had a place of rest. It was called the sabbatical. And many people who plant now realize that they can work the ground for 6 years. In the seventh year, they need to let the land rest. So this is even by agriculture. So these are laws that were set down. It has nothing to do with Old Testament and all of that stuff. Okay. Also, Yahweh had set up what we called a jubilee. Now, the jubilee would happen every seven Sabbaths. That's what the Bible will call it. And then the next year. So if you count seven times seven, seven Sabbaths, a Sabbath is 70, a sabbatical is 7 years. So if you would count the 49 years, and then the following year would be the jubilee. And so we can see here where the jubilee fits in and how he created that. Now, in that parallel, what we call the Pentecost. On Pentecost, we know that the Holy Spirit was poured out in the book of Acts, and people were taught. And so what we, they had the Holy Spirit, and they spoke in different languages to preach the word. And so we find out that the Jubilee and the Pentecost mirror each other. And you started out around this time that we're talking about, that you would wait to the Sabbath after the Passover during the time of unleavened bread, and then you would count seven Sabbaths. And so that's our next event that will be coming on the horizon. At this moment, let's take another break so that we might be able to hear from our sponsors.
Did you know that the supernatural is real? Yep, that's exactly what Jesus taught and operated in. Kingdom principles for kingdom living. So to walk in your kingdom authority, enroll at Living Water Training Institute for the January 2015 session. Living Water Training Institute offers ministerial training for the kingdom, and you will learn what spiritual warfare is and how to navigate in the spirit realm legally and efficiently. And guess what? You do not have to be present to attend. So for more information, give us a call at area code 904-638-6906 or email us at livingwatertraining@gmail.com. Oh yeah, and check out the website at www.livingwaterhealingministries.org. So I challenge you to sharpen your arsenal and operate from your kingdom mantle.
One Day Denture Repair is a denture repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida. They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Denture Repair at 904-210-6208 for an appointment.
No.
thank you for having me back. It's a good opportunity that we have here as we are studying the calendar of Yahweh. Okay, so every 50th year, every 49th year, and then the cycle starts over, then it starts at 1 again, and that first 1 is the 50th year. Okay, and at that point, that's when hopefully everyone would have lived at least and seen one jubilee in their lifetime. So for some African American males, they don't live for 50 years old. They die in their 20s or 30s. And so some of them never get a chance to see that. But some do. Okay, the next thing we would like to look at. Okay, we looked at the jubilee. Then we talk about every year you have is called a, every seventh year is called a sabbatical. Okay, and now when we have 1,000 years, we call it a millennial sabbatical. The Bible says a day is as 1,000 years with Yahweh. So you count 7 of them, you get 7 of them as a millennium. And so what we are believe and teach that there is every seventh year, so in the 7,000th year we should be resting, because that'll be a sabbatical millennium. And so the 6 ones before that, the 6,000 years prior to that, would be the one since the fall of humans by Adam and Eve. From then until 6,000 years time frame, that will be a cycle of redemption for humans. And then the 7,000 year is Yahweh says that he will live and reign with us for 1,000 years. Well, let's read that in the book of what? Revelation. What chapter in the book of Revelation? Revelation chapter 20. We looked at some of this before with some of you. Okay. And when you look at Revelation chapter 20, we hear about how Yahweh binds Satan and binds him for 1,000 years. In verse 1, and I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So this is during the 1,000-year reign of the Messiah, he's bound. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. And I saw, now this is going to describe what was going on during the 1,000 years when Lucifer is in his den. And I saw thrones, and they upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Yeshua and for the word of Elohim, which had not, okay, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark in their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with the Messiah 1,000 years. The rest of the dead lived not till 1,000 years was fulfilled. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of Elohim and of the Messiah, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Okay, so there we go. So the 1,000 years would be the sabbatical millennium. Okay, so these are the time frames that we're talking about. Now, if we look back in time using certain dates and so forth, people put the time of the fall around 4,000 BC. And then if you count to 0 BC, that gives you 4,000 years. And you count from 0 to today, 2015, then you have another 2,000 years. So we're right around the 6,000-year mark. Okay? So we hope things will be wrapping up soon. We think things will be wrapping up soon, but we know the Bible says no man knows the day nor the hour. And I am not trying to predict any day or any hour. Okay? Many people have tried, and they fell flat on their face. So I'm not interested in doing that. So, but I wanted to get you to see the pattern of how Yahweh has been using things. Okay, so the first 2,000 years he used the Africans. The Africans were the ones, and we found out that they were the Nubians. Okay, around the African Great Lake regions where the Garden of Eden was, around the first two rivers, the Pison and what we call the Gihon, the rivers that flow out of the Great Lake region was the first region, first river, and the second one was the Nile River. And so we talked about that, and we talked about the Horn of Africa, okay, the African Great regions, and we found out that it was the Nubian civilization. Then it became, as you moved up the coast, you ran into the Nile Valley civilization, or the Egyptian civilization, as we call it. Then we ran across the other side, and we ran across the Ur of the Chaldees. We ran across Nimrod's empire over there, called the Land of Nimrod, where the Tigris and Euphrates won, the third civilization. Okay? Where Sumer dwelt, with the Sumerarians, Sumer. And so they were the first ones on that side who were all Nubian Cushites, Ethiopians. Or Ethiopians, there's all these terms that people use that means the same thing. Okay, so the next group of people that he had used was he picked up with Abraham, and he started using what they call Abraham's descendants, or the Semitic, as some would call it. So he mixed the two together when they came out of Egypt. And as you read through my book, People of Color in the Bible, you'll see how they intermarried with the Africans. There were no Europeans to intermarry with, so Abraham couldn't have been European, nor any of his descendants. So just read through the book and go through our old studies. You'll see all of that. And so these African Hebrews, Africans and Hebrews united, those that followed Yahweh, that were African, joined in with those that were Hebrews. And so then you had this African Hebrew Israelite group, which were, again, people who left Egypt. They were all black, dark-skinned people. And then you come into the New Testament, okay? And so that was the first 2,000 years was the Africans Yahweh had taught. Then the second was the Abrahamic people, and then they were the second 2,000 years taught. So far we got 4,000 years of going on. So the 2,000 years ended right around 33 BC, right around the time of the death of the Messiah. So then it says that the Hebrews, African Hebrew Israelites, rejected Yeshua. And so then the message was given to the Gentiles. So the Gentiles have been following Yahweh, or have been trying to follow Yahweh for the last 2,000 years. They were introduced to following Yahweh. Okay, let's put it that way. Okay, so the Africans have been following Yahweh for 6,000 years. The Hebrews have been following him for 4,000 years up to this date. And now you had the Europeans who were learning about the gospel for the last 2,000 years. All of them go into apostasy. Africans, it don't matter, they go in apostasy. Hebrews, Abraham's descendants, they go in apostasy. The Europeans, today we have apostasy in the church. So everybody goes into apostasy. And so Yahweh has to raise up another group of people that he promised to raise, which is the 144. And that's what we were talking about before. So in these feast days, we're going to just talk about how they relate to last days. Now, in the first month, on the 14th day of the first month, that's when you had the Passover. And then the Feast of Unleavened Bread began on the 15th day to the 21st day. It lasted for 7 days. Okay? So that's where we are. Now, we're going to try to understand what happened during those particular time frames. And at that point, let's take a break that we might hear from our sponsors to close out.
colors. Did you know that the supernatural is real? Yep, that's exactly what Jesus taught and operated in. Kingdom principles for kingdom living. So to walk in your kingdom authority, enroll at Living Water Training Institute for the January 2015 session. Living Water Training Institute offers ministerial training for the kingdom, and you will learn what spiritual warfare is and how to navigate in the spirit realm legally and efficiently. And guess what? You do not have to be present to attend. So for more information, give us a call at area code 904-638-6906 or email us at livingwatertraining@gmail.com. Oh yeah, and check out the website at www.livingwaterhealingministries.org. So I challenge you to sharpen your arsenal and operate from your kingdom mantle.
One Day Denture Repair is a denture repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida. They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Denture Repair at 904-210-6208 for appointment.
May not play like a maestro. Sing like a diva. Don't know the book like a scholar. Sometimes in my step there's a falter, but in my heart I am praying before His glory.
Well, thank you, everybody, for coming and being part of our session to understand about the calendar, the unleavened bread. Okay, we mentioned on the 14th day of the first Hebrew month after the new moon was the Passover. Then we found out that on the following day was the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And that lasted for 7 weeks. Okay. And then we found out, for 7 days. Okay. When we go back to what we had read in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1, and Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of Yahweh's. Aha, there it is. The feast of Yahweh's, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Even these are my feasts. 6 days, so he's going to give us the feast, starting with the first one. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of Yahweh in all your dwelling. So this, he's telling you that the seventh day Sabbath was already in existence, that he has you rest, and we read it in Genesis chapter 1. So this was already one that was given to the Africans that they have been keeping for over 2,000 years. And so now he's also given it to the Hebrews because that's what it is. And he also gave it to his people at the time of his crucifixion and when he was here, when it went to the Gentiles. But everybody, like we said, has counterfeits. These are the feasts of Yahweh, even holy convocation. Ye shall proclaim them in their what? Seasons. Remember, we read in chapter 1 of Genesis, verse 14, it talked about the feasts. Okay? And the sun and moons will be for your feasts or for your seasons. Or proclaim them in their seasons. And the seasons here is feasts. Okay? So, there's feasts. Holy convocations and seasons are all used interchangeably. And the 14th day of the first month at even is Yahweh's Passover. So there, I mentioned to you the 14th day. And on the 15th day of that same day is the Feast of Unleavened Bread unto Yahweh. 7 days ye must eat unleavened bread. Okay? So there we go again. All right? So we wanted to let you know that. Now, what does unleavened mean? Okay? And what does Passover mean? Well, we know on the Passover, it was supposed to represent them leaving Egypt, that they, the firstborn would die in Egypt if they didn't have a lamb and they didn't put the lamb blood above the doorpost. And you would put it above the doorpost to represent that Yahweh's blood, the Lamb of Yahweh, and that's what the Lamb of Elohim, that's what John says when he saw Yeshua, the Lamb of Yahweh which taketh away the sins of the world. And so that's what he was called. Okay, so it was fulfilled through Yeshua actually dying on the cross, dying on the Passover day, the hour the Passover lamb is offered up. That's when he died, so that he can fulfill in type and in anti-type, so that event and time are coordinated. So he couldn't have died any day on the Passover. He couldn't die on any day of the year. He only could die as the Passover lamb when the Passover lamb is being offered, as is described in Yahweh's calendar. Okay, so the same thing here when we talk about Pentecost. Pentecost occurred on 49 days after the wave sheaf. The wave sheaf was offered on the first day of the week after the Sabbath passed, and then the wave sheaf was offered. So when the wave sheaf was being offered, then you would count out 7 weeks, which would be 49 days, and then the following day, the 50th, would be Pentecost. That's what Penti means, 50. And so, on the day of Pentecost, according to Acts chapter 2, that the Holy Spirit was poured out upon his people, and they spoke in different languages, and people call it tongues, but different languages, not unknown tongues, in different languages, so that everybody around the world could hear. And they said, hey, don't these people of Galilee, how do they speak in our language? And he says that, well, hey, we got the Holy Spirit and he's having us speak to you in all of your different languages, which we don't know. So there happened again when the day of Pentecost was fully come, the book of Acts says. Then he poured out his Spirit. So all of these events just don't happen by circumstance or whenever anybody wants them to happen. Okay, they happen on time when Yahweh had laid it out in his calendar. Notice Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, not any time during the Pentecost. Not when, and the same thing on Passover. Not any time on Passover he could die. He had to die when the Passover lamb was being offered up. And so when the day of Pentecost had fully come, reached its height, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were filled, amen now, with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues or languages. That word means other languages, the word tongues, as the Spirit gave utterance. Okay, and you can describe it. And there was dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. See, it clears that up. And they're speaking tongues. No, it speaks in their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galilean? And how hear we every man in our own tongue? See, they use those words interchangeably. Tongue means words. He said earlier that they had a man speak in his own language, in his own language, where we were born. Now, so if anybody tells you on the day of Pentecost that they spoke in unknown tongues, that is not scriptural. Okay? The Bible makes it crystal clear that every man heard them speak in their own language, wherein they were born. Okay? So there's all these false movements going on around the planet. Okay? But we should expect that, because it's, you know, every 2,000 years, you know, people fall off the map. They fall from following Yahweh. So we know that. Okay? So everyone has their time to follow Yahweh. The Africans were first for 2,000 years, then Abraham and the Hebrews, and they followed them for 2,000 years. And then the Gentiles, or the Europeans, they followed Yahweh, and it says for 2,000 years, theirs is up, and they're in apostasy. So everybody goes into apostasy. There is not no matter of who you are, but everyone does. So it says that the Europeans have only known Yahweh the least amount of time. The Hebrews have known him for at least 4,000 years, and the Africans have known him for 6,000 years. Okay, so now let's understand what is going on here. So when we talk about this particular calendar, so you should find embedded inside of the African traditions and languages, and inside of their traditions and customs, you should find Hebrew things. You should find the of people doing different things that according to the testimonies and Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy, all of those things, because they had them, because Yahweh gave it to them. They were the first ones on the planet, so of course they had it. So as we're moving forward, now we talk about Pentecost. We talked about how that was fulfilled. We talked about how Yahweh, Yeshua, was the Lamb of Elohim, which taketh away the sins of the world. Okay, we read already about who else? Okay, take away the sin of the world. And we didn't talk specifically about the time when, that, let me think about it. Okay, the time when the people were raised from the dead. Okay, did you know that people were raised from the dead? At the time that Yeshua was offering up, it just talks about that he was, when he was raised, that the graves opened at his resurrection, so that he can fulfill the wave sheaf offering. Anyone familiar with that? Because the Bible talks about those type of things. Okay? So, the wave sheaf was to represent that he was supposed to, what do we call it? The wave sheaf was the first. So you would wave the first fruits. That's what they were called, the first fruits, the wave sheaf. You would, whatever food that you produced or grain or whatever came up at that time, you would bring it in before Yahweh, and they would wave it before Yahweh. Now, the reason why they would wave it before Yahweh is just so that the so that would represent the new harvest. Okay, so they were the first fruits of the resurrection. So just as the first fruits were waved, so then when they went to heaven with him, then they represented the first fruits of the resurrection. Now, many people didn't know that. But these are the type of things that Yahweh has talked about. These are the different things that were actually going on. And the veil of the temple was ripped from top to bottom at the same time, showing this. Okay, let's look at that. Let's look at chapter 27 of Matthew. And we're going to read here. We're going to start off at verse 43. And he trusted in Elohim. Let him deliver him now, if he will have him. For he said, I am the son of Elohim. The thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Yeshua cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? That is to say, my Elohim, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elijah. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it in a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Yeshua then, as he cried again with a loud voice, gave up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And the earth did quake and rocks rent. Okay, so now you have the temple exposed of what nobody was supposed to see. So it's ripped open so everybody could see that the sacrificial offerings are no longer. That has nothing to do with the feast days. That has nothing to do with Yahweh's calendar. Just the sacrificial offerings were obliterated because he became the Lamb of Elohim. And when we pray, we confess our sins to him. They transfer from us to him and to him to the sanctuary. And he's in the book of Hebrews says that he is our high priest. And he ever liveth to make intercession for us before Yahweh. Okay. And then it says here, and the graves were opened, and many body of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Okay, so there we have it. We have the graves are opened, but the people are raised when Yeshua is raised. And they go back and testifies, and he takes them to heaven as his first fruits. Now, who were these people? I don't know who these people are. They could be the 30 elders, okay? The elders that are, before the throne in the book of Revelation. There are no elders in the Old Testament before the throne of Yahweh, but they are in the New Testament in the book of Revelation after his resurrection. So that's a theory, but let's move on. Now, the feast of unleavened bread means unleavened, and so when it talks about unleavened, leaven represents sin in their life, and so unleavened means you have removed sin out of your life. And so the people that are going to be removed the sins out of their life is the 144. So the unleavened bread, the week of unleavened bread, represents the cleansing and the purging of his people at that time frame. Now, what do we have to do? We have to come out of her, my people. Come out of where? Come out of Babylon. Come out of the beast power. Come out of these churches. Come out of these organizations. Jehovah Witness, whatever you want to call these different things, no matter what you call them. Even Freemasonry, all of these different things that are set up, the counterfeit. So notice what it says. We have not yet received the atonement, nor have we obtained perfection. The Bible's present truth message for today commands us to come out of this world's fallen educational system of Babylon. So our education system, we have to be re-educated because we've been miseducated. The system's purpose is to use propaganda to socially engineer or brainwash people into a complete fallen state of being. Propaganda was first used by Satan on Adam and Eve. The propaganda used in the garden instigated the fall of Adam and Eve. It is still being heard today through Satan's system. Education system. In the church, out of the church. Government officials. Media. TV. Radio. Music. All over the place. It's just bombarding us in pictures, in billboards. The hidden persuasions, they call it. Subliminal subduction. It is being heard through many forms of media, especially with the mass programming of people through miseducation and propaganda. You might say, why does a present truth message tell us to come out of a fallen world system of education or Babylon? The answer is simple. If we let them miseducate us or brainwash us through the media and the educational system, then they will program our children and us until they have completed their task or duty and goal. This is done to seal us in a fallen condition and to place their stamp of authority and approval on our souls, making us their merchandise and slaves to sin and slaves to their system. The complete and total fall of humans in Satan by Satan is to have us become demon possessed rather than filled with the spirit of promise. Revelation chapter 18 verses 1 through 5. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon is the great is fallen, and has become the what? Habitation of devils. That's what America is, a habitation, the dwelling place of devils. And the whole of every foul spirit. That's where we hide out, inside of capitalism. They just hide out in these joints. And the cage of every unclean and hateful bird that they have are on total lockdown. For all nations, no one is exempt. All nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. And the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. Now, he's not calling the whole world out. He's just calling his people out. Come out of her, my people. Why? Why are you calling us out of this Babylonian system? Why are you calling us out of the churches? Why are you calling us out of the world? Why are you calling us out of America? Why are you calling us out? That ye be not partakers of her sins. Because it's just like in Hitler's time. They were massacring the Jews and so forth. The European Jews and blacks and other nationalities. They were just massacring them. And so he's telling us that the people who were Germans, who didn't do anything and just were cooperating with them and so forth, their sins are part of that. So if you sit idly by, that you are partakers of their sins. That's what he says. So even if you go into the church and you say, well, I don't have to worry about my tithe, I give them the tithe and they misuse it, that's on them. No, it's not on them. It's on you. It says, come out of her, my people, and be not partakers of her sins. So if they're sinning and they're spending your money to sin, you got to withhold that money and give it to those that are doing the work, that are spreading the true gospel, that are awakening people up from their darkness. That ye be not partakers of her sins, that ye receive not of her plagues. So he said, if you be partakers of her sins, you're going to receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and Elohim hath remembered her iniquity. Now, this is interesting. There's these movies out, and they tell you that they have hell fires, and that's what they call these drones. That's what they were sending out. It's hell fire. So they say they're raining down fire on the earth. And they are, because the Bible says in the book of Revelation. Do you know what it says in the book of Revelation? Revelation chapter 13. Won't you turn there with me so you can understand what the beast's power is doing. Verse 1, and I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Okay, and that's one beast. Okay, then you come to another one in verse 11, and I beheld another beast come up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb and spake like a dragon. So who in the world, as America, represents a lamb, a Christian nation? Only America, and speaks like a dragon, speak like the devil. I mean, saying that, hey, there's liberty for all, and then enslaving the blacks and wiping out the Native American. Okay, so this is this second beast here found in Revelation as America. And he exercised, America dressed by all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell on the earth to worship the first beast whose wound was healed. Now, why do we have the power to make people worship? Because we go around through IBM, through McDonald's, and through all of these different corporations, which we call capitalists. They go around and then they feed the people propaganda and lies and deception, brainwash them and get them from following their religion and following what they believe is right, and get us all into one big packet. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. That's what we call hellfire. That's what these drones are. So we're going around dropping these drones on all of these places. We're raining fire from heaven. So there we go. There is the United States in prophecy. Okay? So I know you might be saying, oh man, Emmanuel, okay, I'm just reading to you the scriptures. You read them to yourself. Okay? So he's calling us out of Babylon. He's calling us out of these organizations. He's calling us out of America. He's calling us out into his marvelous light. Well, you might be saying, well, where can I go? Well, what do you mean, where can you go? You need to start studying the word and understand what it says, so that you might be able to follow what it says and do what it says. Now, we're going to be concluding in a few seconds. The present truth calls for you and for I to come out from this world's falling educational system, which socially engineers people into Satan's image, not the image of Yahweh. There are two complete states of perfection for human. One, those who are deceived are individuals who do not receive the love of the truth so that they might be saved. These people will receive a strong delusion, which will have them believe a lie so they might be damned because they love not the truth. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verses 9 through 12. This will complete the fall as they freely and willingly receive the spirit of Lucifer, Satan, the god of this world. 2. Now, what is this other state of being that Yahweh is trying to perfect us in? Satan is trying to perfect us in his, and Yahweh is trying to perfect us in his. We already read that there's demons, there's three unclean spirits that go forth as frogs. And we said, we already read that. Now, if we're reading the second group, the other state of perfection is the perfecting of the 144,000 who have become one of Elohim, have become one with Elohim through the atonement, by being sealed with Yahweh's name written in their forehead. This state of being perfected seals up and completes Yahweh's original purpose for creating humans. The 7 points in Daniel chapter 9 verse 24 spells out the final details for us in receiving the final atonement. The announcement of the complete fall of Babylon is Yahweh's last call to a dying world that is ready to perish. He is letting us know that our probation is about to close and the fulfillment of Daniel chapter 24 is at hand. Okay, now how does this relate to the perfecting? It relates to the unleavened bread of the perfecting of the 144, the cleansing of their souls. So I pray that you have a better understanding of this. We will come back to this next week. But we pray that Yahweh is opening your mind, opening your understanding, that you might be able to appreciate the things that are going on and that you might be able to see, thus saith Yahweh. May Yahweh bless you and may he keep you and may his wonderful grace pour upon you and may he give you peace. And as I mentioned, you can get these books on the website, www.peopleofcolor1.com. Email me. Talk to me. Send me messages. We have an email site that you can email. Okay? May Yahweh bless you and keep you. May his wonderful grace pour upon you. And may he give you peace. Amen and amen. Praise Yahweh.